Thank you, Jerry, and a big win for the Blue Jays once again. 6-1 since the Tulowitzki trade a week ago. 6-0 when Troy is actually in the starting lineup. And well, you look at this. The Blue Jays now starting to win ball games when they score three runs or less. The pitching has been outstanding since the All-Star break. We are taking your calls. We're going to Blue Jays talk it up all the way until 11 o'clock Eastern time, but wouldn't be really fair to go to a caller right now and give you 45 seconds. So we're going to let the network go at the top of the hour. But if you're on hold, stay on hold. If you're not on hold, get on hold. 416-870-0590. Star 590 on the cell and long distance. 1-888-666-0590. Blue Jays talk on our flagship station, Sportsnet 590 The Fan and Sportsnet.ca/590 is almost upon us. It's the Honda Postgame Show on the Sportsnet Radio Network. Jays beat the Minnesota Twins 3-1. Josh Donaldson and Troy Tulowitzki with early home runs. Deonner Navarro with an RBI double in the sixth. And Marco Estrada outstanding. 6 2/3 innings of two-hitter. He retired the first 9 batters he faced. Had a little hiccup in the fourth. Retired 10 in a row before being chased by an Eddie Rosario double in the seventh. And then Mark Lowe, Aaron Sanchez, and Roberto Osuna combined for 2 1/3 innings of no-hit relief to get the Blue Jays the win. The Jays are now a game clear of the Twins for the second wild card in the American League. They're a half game up on the Baltimore Orioles, who are in Oakland tonight, a game and a half back of the Angels, who are home to the Indians tonight. Both those games get underway in the next 10 minutes or so. The Yankees have an 8-3 lead over the Boston Red Sox in the bottom of the seventh, so it appears as though the Blue Jays will remain 5.5 games out of first place in the American League East. Your calls are coming up. 416-870-0590. Star 590 on the cell. Long distance is 1-888-666-0590. We'll take your calls till 11 Eastern on Sportsnet 590 The Fan and sportsnet.ca/590. Drew Hutchison gets to Baltimore tonight looking for his 10th win against righty Tyler Duffy, who's making his major league debut. The Blue Jays will look for their fourth straight W. We're on at 7 Eastern. You're listening to Home Hardware Blue Jays Baseball, brought to you by Home Hardware. Homeowners helping homeowners with expert advice. For Jerry Howard, Joe Siddle, Tom Young, Derek Brandeo, and Mark Boffo, I'm Mike Wilner. Keep it here for Blue Jays Talk. For the rest of you, bye-bye. He's 0 for 2. He's flied out and struck out. And he belts the first pitch in a gap in right center field. That's going to go all the way to the wall. Encarnacion will score. Navarro jogs into second with an RBI double. He's doubled the Blue Jays' lead to 3-1. And that will be your final score, 3-1. The Blue Jays beat the Twins. They outhit them 7-2. A tremendous pitching performance. The Blue Jays lead the American League in ERA, opponent's batting average, and whip. At least they did going into tonight, and those numbers got even better tonight as the Blue Jays allowed just 2 hits, both by Marco Estrada over his magnificent 6 2/3 innings of work. Mark Lowe, Aaron Sanchez, and Roberto Osuna with 2 1/3 no-hit innings of relief. Sanchez, a perfect 8th inning, and since Aaron Sanchez has come back off the disabled list, hitters are 1-for-18 against him. I'm Mike Wilner. This is Blue Jays Talk. Phone lines are open at 416-870-0590. Star 590 on the cell. Long distance 1-888-666-0590. We will hear from acting manager DeMarlo Hale shortly, but first let's get to the calls. Start with Steve in Port Perry. Welcome to the program. Go ahead.
Hello.
Hello.
Hi, Mike. Michael.
Is this the same Steve in Port Perry? You couldn't hear me last week?
Yeah, I can't talk for the satellites, my brother.
All right, what's up, Steve?
I can't believe the price was unbelievable, but I want to talk about Dickey's performance, Michael. This week has been brings me back to the 80s, how great this team's been playing. But if we could take the run support that Burley gets, and if you could swap that for Dickey, where would he be in wins and losses, Michael?
I have no idea, but, I mean, it doesn't really matter, does it? You can't do that.
No,
Dickey's
no,
been
it doesn't,
terrific
but
this
when
year.
All these people phone up and they're all over Dickey, I think that somebody needs to step up and say, you know what, this guy on 3 days rest in his last five or six appearances have been outstanding, and they're bringing up his catcher now.
Well, they're talking about it. It may. I know. It sounds like it's a fait accompli, but I don't know that it's going to happen so fast. But they're certainly talking about bringing Josh Tolley back. Look, R.A. Dickey in his last 12 starts has an ERA of 2.70. The league is hitting 2.29 off of him. He's given up 5 home runs in his last 80 innings. He's 4-5 over that stretch, but he's been fantastic since the end of May. Only one outing in which he's given up more than 3 runs.
I don't even want to talk about next year, Michael, who they take and if they sign Price and that, but I hope the guy that eats 200 innings every year, I hope he's with the team next year.
We shall see, but you just said you didn't want to talk about next year. So enjoy this year, Steve.
I'm loving it.
I appreciate it, and thank you for the call. We really need to get this across to people. You're going to miss a lot of fun if you're busy worrying about whether or not David Price is coming back to the Blue Jays next year. It doesn't matter. What matters is these next 2 months and hopefully these next 3 months. Right now, the Blue Jays are in a playoff spot. If Baltimore wins, they'll be tied. If Baltimore loses, they'll be a game clear. There is a chance that by close of business tomorrow night, the Blue Jays will be in the top wild card spot in the American League. And you just keep putting distance between yourself and the teams behind you. This is an outstanding team right now, and it's playing really, really, really well. They beat the Twins 3-1 tonight, and they did it without their manager. John Gibbons was suspended for the game because he came back out of the clubhouse after being ejected from the game on Sunday to join into the melee on the field to play peacekeeper. So we're not going to hear from John Gibbons tonight because DeMarlo Hale ran the game. And DeMarlo Hale is the manager of record for the win. Here's what DeMarlo had to say to the media after the game.
This amendment goes on Gibby record now, so.
DeMarlo, the club hasn't had great success in games where you've scored 3 runs or less. I mean, tonight to get a win in a game where you don't have a ton of offense, is that, you know, what does that say about the team?
Well, I mean, we're playing good baseball, and you know, you got the back end, the bullpen. Pitching the ball very well, and you know, you got the lead, and Strada pitched very well. And Strada pitched very well, and well played game. I mean, that was a good baseball game.
What does it mean to get the kind of pop that you guys have at the top of the order with Tulowitzki and Donaldson with a pair of solo shots?
Well, those guys at the top, they can change the game with one swing of the bat. So, you know, it's a threat from the start, you know. And he hit the home run to get us going, and Tulo followed. You got a 2-run lead. It's a pretty good beginning.
Estrada's been on a nice little roll now for really a couple of months. Has he turned into a better pitcher, and has he had a better season so far than you might have thought going into this year?
No, I mean, he knows how to pitch, you know, and he's got that changeup that can add and subtract with his fastball. He's mixing his curveball a little bit more tonight. So it's just a pitcher that knows how to pitch. And when you got a mix of those pitches, you know, you can get those kind of performances.
DeMarlo, you've been watching him all year, but the number of go-ahead home runs that Donaldson has hit, have you seen a guy on a streak with so many clutch hits, big hits for a team?
I mean, he's playing well, and, you know, he's a big part of the success of this team, you know, as others are on this team, because you need 25. But, you know, he shows up every day. You know, he prepares. This team prepares to win a game, and you know, he's had a very good year. You know, you're talking about MVP caliber year. So, you know, with a few months to go, and I think he can only add to that, you know. But if, you know, I'm not speaking for him, but I think if you asked him, he's, you know, looking to help win ball games, you know. And if that's a home run, a big hit, a defensive play, I think he's doing it.
DeMarlo, it looked like Roberto Osuna maybe didn't have his best stuff tonight, but certainly got through that inning. I mean, what can it do for a young pitcher to, you know, face something like that and get through? What can it do for his confidence?
Well, I think all of them at certain times of the year may not feel their best. But, you know, when you compete and you compete and, you know, at this level and you're trying to get to, you know, a place where, you know, this organization having been the playoffs, you know, you're going to go out there that may not have your best stuff. But, you know, what I'm enjoying, I'm seeing these guys compete, you know, night in and night out. And you know, we ain't going to feel our best every night. But you know what? There's a reputation and there's a perception that this team is going to play hard every night and be in ball games. And the good teams got that. You know, when teams come in or when we go on the road, you know they about to play a good ball club and they're going to compete every night. So I think everybody at some point is going to get through that period where they're not feeling their best but going to go out there.
DeMarlo, I know Sanchez's walks had started to come down through May and June, but he is all over the strike zone as a reliever, and he was pretty proficient at that last year as well. Yeah. Is it something to do with the role or the mentality of that role that he's more consistent in the zone?
Yeah, I'm sure it plays a factor. And you know, you're talking about coming out of the bullpen, you know, you may eliminate one of your pitches, you know, as a starter. You know, as a starter, you trying to get through the lineup three times, so, you know, you might use a little bit more combination of your pitches, but I think coming out of the bullpen, you know, and your mindset, you know, you're getting three outs, you know, sometimes you don't have to use all your pitches, you know, but you got them when you need them. But if you're efficient and getting the job done with a couple of pitches and you're pounding the strike zone, you know, I don't know why you would try to get too creative and change, you know. But you know, as a starter, you know, there's that time around the order that you got to go again, you know, and sometimes it's tough, that third time, you know. So he's performed very well out of the bullpen, and he started to perform very well as a starter too, you know. Unfortunately, he had a setback, but, you know, he's come back in this role and been very good.
He certainly has. There's DeMarlo Hale doing a fine job subbing in for John Gibbons, who was suspended today. DeMarlo ran the game, and the Blue Jays won the game. The Jays now have the best run differential in the major leagues at plus 112. They are 6-0 with Troy Tulowitzki in the starting lineup. They have never lost in the history of the franchise when Troy Tulowitzki is in the starting lineup. I'm Mike Wilner. This is Jays Talk, 416-870-0590, star 590 on the cell, long distance, 1-888-666-0590. Taking your calls till 11 Eastern. TJ is in Chicago. Hey, TJ, thanks for calling.
Not a problem, Mike. Great show. I just want to say you do a great job every night.
Thank you. That's very swell of you.
I listen from Chicago every night, too, which is nice to hear.
That's awesome.
I want to talk about Aaron Sanchez. I'm not so sure what this whole pregame suspension is all about, including how Kansas City didn't get anybody suspended. And I just want to get your take on that, as well as Yordano Ventura's tweeting at Batista. Shouldn't MLB have some kind of repercussions on that, because he technically kind of threatened him, didn't he?
He did, and then he apologized, and apparently Batista accepted the apology. And it wasn't him. It's not like he threatened and then went out and hit somebody and then apologized for it. So I don't know that you can actually do anything except really tell him not to be an idiot on social media, which, you know, they're all told not to be an idiot on social media. But some
exactly.
People just can't help themselves. As far as the suspension goes, look, the Major League Baseball goes off the umpire's report. And the umpire, Jim Wolf, believed, and we knew it on Sunday, he believed that none of the pitches none of the inside pitches after the warning were intentional, except for the one Aaron Sanchez threw at Alcides Escobar, and that's why Sanchez gets suspended and nobody else does. I think that's the appeal. You know, the appeal will be heard in the next few days, and I think it'll probably get knocked down to two games. I think, and I've talked about it already, what I think of the job Jim Wolf did. I thought it was terrible. I thought that at some point in time, you have to, you just have to say enough is enough, and stop pitching up and in on these guys after you've been warned. You've already hit somebody. Somebody's got to go at some point, and that somebody was Ryan Madsen after he hit Troy Tulowitzki with a fastball. If that happens, then Sanchez doesn't throw at Escobar probably, and none of this, none of the nonsense happens. So, I think Jim Wolf lost control of the game pretty hard. And that's why everything happened. But again, in his opinion and on his report, Aaron Sanchez was the only guy who intentionally threw at a batter after the warning had been issued. So Sanchez gets suspended.
I understand that. But just looking back at this last year and even late last year with the whole Kansas City against Oakland and Kansas City against Mike Trout, I mean, there has to be some kind of precedent set because these guys have been doing this numerous times. And enough's enough at a certain point, you know?
I agree with you that enough's enough at a certain point. But again, if they don't think that, if the umpire doesn't think they're throwing at people intentionally, then regardless of what they've done in the past, that doesn't really matter, does it? You got to take off your Blue Jays glasses and you look at the way that Major League Baseball is looking at this.
No, I understand that. It's just really frustrating when they're throwing at Donaldson and Tulowitzki and Batista. And it's just really frustrating.
Yeah, it is. It absolutely is. And it was frustrating that for me that nobody got run. It was frustrating. You know, I don't know. I mean, I think it's a lot to ask for Jim Wolf to throw out Edinson Volquez in the first inning, even though I probably would have after he came down off the mound to yell at Donaldson after he hit him. For me, that's enough. You got to go. But I, you know, I think that's a lot to ask of a big league umpire to throw out a starting pitcher for a first place team two batters into a game. So, you know, it goes from there, and, you know, I think you and I saw it very much the same way, but that's not the way Jim Wolf saw it, and that's who Major League Baseball is listening to.
Yeah, I see what you're saying. All right, Mike, you did great work. Just want to let you know that good job, and hopefully we go all the way this year.
Thanks, TJ. Appreciate the call all the way from the hog butcher to the world, Chicago. We're taking your calls till 11 o'clock Eastern time. After we're done, Jeff Sammet takes over Sportsnet tonight, and his first guest is going to be Josh Toley, who we've been talking about. The Blue Jays thinking about calling up for R.A. Dickey's next start. Not sure whether or not that will happen, but a lot of people are talking about it, so you'll hear it from the horse's mouth, Josh Toley. We'll hear from Troy Tulowitzki a little bit later on, but right now let's head east. Randy is in Moncton. Randy, you're on Jay's Talk.
Hey, well, I'm not even going to talk about the Big Bad Wolf tonight. I'll just completely stay away from that one. And I'll ask you, I know there's a little bit of conversation, not much, after Vinny Valencia got sent down about the Blue Jays having an eight-man bullpen. Are a lot of teams now carrying eight-man, or do most carry seven?
I still think most carry seven. I don't know, to be honest with you. I don't think the eight-man bullpen is the norm yet. The Minnesota Twins have eight. So that's something, I guess, but I don't know if it's, I think most teams carry seven, or I hope most teams carry seven.
Yeah, well, you know, although I guess in this case where Sanchez is being suspended, it's kind of, although if Josh Toley gets called up, who gets sent down?
Well, we don't know that Josh Toley's getting called up. If he does, you would imagine that they would send a reliever down, but maybe that call-up gets stalled a little bit because Sanchez has to serve his suspension.
Pretty awesome week. Do you ever remember a team turning over 20% of its roster at the trade deadline? I don't.
Yeah, it happens. It happens. It doesn't happen a lot, for sure, but it certainly does happen, and you see teams with little tinkers here and there. I think the Yankees brought in a bunch of new guys at the deadline last year. I don't know. I'm trying to think of whether it was 20% of the roster or not. But I do think they brought in five. I remember Headley and Prado off the top. Let me see. Let's take a quick look here at the New York Yankees last year and who they brought in.
they brought in Chase Headley, Martin Prado, Chris Young. As far as that's three position players. Brandon McCarthy, that's four. I don't know if Matt Thornton was after the break or not. But there are at least four, maybe more. So, yeah it happens.
Will the Aaron Sanchez appeal be heard after the New York series?
Probably not.
Yeah, I wouldn't think so either.
It might be ruled on after the New York series. They may not issue a ruling over the weekend. Who knows? But I think that the Blue Jays' hope is that it gets heard while they're in New York. The ruling comes down on Monday. The suspension's reduced to two games, and he sits a couple of games against the A's.
Yeah, that sounds about right. All right, have a good one.
All right, thanks for the call. Appreciate it. 416-870-0590, *590 on the cell. Long distance is 1-888-666-0590. Blue Jays beat the Twins 3-1, and right now the Blue Jays are in sole possession of the second wild card in the American League. Of course, that is pending the outcome of the Baltimore Orioles game in Oakland, which is just underway. And nothing in the bottom of the first. If the Blue Jays were counting on the Boston Red Sox for help, they're not getting it. The Yankees scored 9 runs in the bottom of the 7th inning and lead the Red Sox 13-3. So it certainly appears as though the deficit in the AL East will remain 5.5 games. But remember, the Jays have 13 games left against the Yankees, including 3 this weekend and in New York, and 3 here next weekend. David is in North York. David, you're up next on Jays Talk. Go ahead.
Good evening, Mr. Wilner. How are you?
I am well, thank you.
Good. I just want your honest, you being around the club like you are when they're home day to day, you see the players, you hear the scuttlebutt and everything. I would like your honest opinion on this. Do you think that they could catch the Yankees?
Absolutely. Good. Like I just said, they have 13 games
totally
against
them. I totally agree with that.
They picked up 2.5 games on the Yankees in the standings in the last week.
Yeah.
So it's far, far, far from an insurmountable lead.
And there's still quite a few games left. So, you know, like...
there's still a third of a season left. Exactly a third of a season.
And once Batista gets on his hot streak going and, you know, and everybody gets going and Tulowitzki and everybody's pitching up to their potential and Gibbons will set it up the way it should be. And we'll
safe
get
to say that's all happening now, though.
Yeah.
Everything except Bautista on a hot streak that you just said is actually happening right now.
Oh, okay. Okay. Yeah. Thanks for correcting me.
No
but
problem.
Yeah, okay. I believe, too, that they can catch the Yankees, and this way they can avoid the one-game playoff and go right into a seven-game series.
A five-game series. But, yeah, that's your game, goal. Yeah. That's what you want. You want to avoid the wild card. But if the wild card's the only way in, you're happy to take it.
And what do you think about this Dombrowski leaving? I don't know if he quit or got fired, but I was listening earlier to McGowan, and he was saying, you know, like maybe he's coming to Toronto.
It's possible.
Do you think they're going to get rid of Anthopoulos if the Blue Jays do what they can do?
No, Dombrowski wouldn't come to Toronto to take over for Alex Anthopoulos. He would come to Toronto to take over for Paul Beeston, who's retired.
Oh, okay. That would be a good pair.
I think Dombrowski would be a perfect fit here. I don't know if he's coming.
Definitely.
Yeah.
Thank you, Michael.
All right, thank you. Appreciate the call. I think Dave Dombrowski would be a perfect fit. He was released from his contract with the Detroit Tigers this afternoon. Mike Ilitch saying, the owner of the Tigers and the Red Wings, saying he wanted to give him time to look for a new job. His contract was up. He wasn't coming back. So, you know, Ilitch is, from all indications, and I've never met him, never talked to him, but a stand-up guy, very forthright, straight ahead. A good person, and he wanted to give Dombrowski the shot to go out there and see where he might land. There are a lot of teams that are interested in him. You would imagine the Blue Jays would be, the Angels would be, the Red Sox would be, the Mariners perhaps. Lots of teams want Dave Dombrowski, very good executive, and again, I think he would be a perfect fit here to take over for Paul Beeston. If I'm Rogers, I've already called him. I'll hire him tomorrow if that's what he wants. Work with Beeston for 3 months for the transition, and it would be perfect. I don't think that's going to happen. But, again, I do think that Dave Dombrowski will be a perfect fit to take over as the next president of the Blue Jays. Blue Jays beat the Twins. 3-1 your final score. The Jays are now a game up on Minnesota for that second wild card in the American League and half a game up on Baltimore. The Orioles are playing right now. Sam is in Hamilton. Hey, Sam.
Hey, Mike. Hey, I thought the Jays couldn't win when they scored 3 runs or less. What's up with that?
Today the problem was they didn't score those extra 3 runs later to win 6-1.
Oh, man. That people are going to hate it. Marco Estrada, wow, just wow. I don't remember what the turning point was, but do you know what the turning point was, or do you remember what the turning point was?
For Marco Estrada?
Yeah, because I remember he got off to a slow start, but then all of a sudden, you know, I remember that kind of two back-to-back no-hitters or perfect games. But was that the turning point, or was there a start before?
I don't know that there was a specific turning point. I think that that we always look for those sorts of things, and very often, or at least more often than not, we just kind of make them up when we see what goes on. Marco Estrada, and, you know, I've been telling people this since the spring, Marco Estrada is a very good pitcher. Marco Estrada is going to give up his share of home runs, but he doesn't put a lot of people on base. He doesn't walk people, and he's been... You know, no one wanted to hear it when I said that from 2011 to 2013, he was one of the better pitchers in the National League. Certainly not one of the best, but a very, very serviceable guy. And he's come here and, you know, he's basically been himself. And since they moved him into the starting rotation, he's been quite good.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, I've been a fan of him since Milwaukee. Obviously, I've heard about him. Now, last season, you know, he did give up a ton of home runs, but obviously I don't think this is the reason, but I think one of the reasons is that he faces an extra team in the Central, NL Central, compared to the AL East. So I know that might not make sense, but that's one of my theories.
It doesn't make sense because it's not true.
I know, but that was one of my theories about it. Now, of course, it's...
Wait, there isn't an extra team in the NL Central.
I thought there was five teams, or, oh, six. I thought there were six.
There used to be, and then the Astros moved to the American League. And that wouldn't mean anything anyway, because everybody still plays the same number of games.
That's true. I don't know. There's a lot of bats in the Central. But
like
anyway,
I said, sometimes when people can't figure out why something is happening, they just make stuff up.
That's true. Now, this whole week, the last week, has been so fun. You know, I wasn't born during 92, 93, so this is by far the funnest I've had, and I don't care if that's not a word, funnest. This is the best I've had week-wise, and just I'm loving it, Mike. You know, Alexandropoulos, you know, a guy who a lot of people are saying, you know, he's going to stay pat. You know, he loves his pitchers, but he went out and traded, which is kind of interesting because, like I said, Alexandropoulos, he loves his pitchers. He loves his stacked pitchers, but yet he didn't trade any bats. He kept all his bats, and that's kind of interesting to me. Why he would keep all his bats instead of trading his pitchers.
Because the pitchers are the ones that have more value on the trademark.
Yeah, well, I'm a fan of offense, so I kind of liked how he traded the pitchers. But, you know, keeping your bats is cool. So, you know, great game tonight. Hopefully we can keep this going. And, you know, I was talking to my Yankees fan, our Yankees friend.
You have a Yankee fan? I was wondering.
I was a friend who's a Yankees fan.
Okay.
We were talking, and, you know, these next 13 games, over the rest of the season are about to be epic. You know, maybe I doubt it'll be 13-12 every game, but I wouldn't be shocked if you see 8-7 games.
It's gonna be a lot of fun. It's gonna be a lot of fun. Thanks for the call, Sam. The Blue Jays right now are better than the New York Yankees, and they have to show it on the field. That's, you know, they've done what they needed to do off the field. They've done what they needed to do with the roster to the point where they are now the better team, and they play them 13 times. If they hold up their end of the bargain, they'll win the division. Right now, they're in a playoff spot. They beat the Minnesota Twins 3-1 tonight. Dave is in Brampton. Dave, you're next. Welcome aboard.
Hey, how you doing?
All right.
You're good. Hey, Mike, I've doubted you like a long time. I've called you twice. I've like trashed the Blue Jays. And all I gotta say is like what AA has done is like it's like I cannot even. It's like unbelievable.
Well, I'm very glad that you're big enough to call back and say that.
Yeah, like he's gotten rid of all the stuff that's like and he's like, he's on a path right now where it's like, it's like 92, 93. And all the people that are doubting right now and calling up and saying, like, all this stuff about the team, they got to realize, like, everybody fears these Blue Jays. And that's why they're doing what they do to the Blue Jays, because they know who the Blue Jays are now. The Blue Jays have made a stamp, and they're going forward, and they got a plan, and it's there.
They've always had the plan. A lot of people didn't believe it for a long time.
Like, you know what I mean? Like, with Reyes is here, it's unreal. I had to call you tonight just to say, like, sorry for doubting this franchise, and I don't know. Right now, I'm loving it. I'm loving it. My kids loving it. Everybody's loving it, and it's unreal. Yeah.
All right, that sums it up perfectly, Dave. Thank you for the call. It's like, yeah. And it is. I can't argue with that. It's like, yeah. This is the thing. You know, the Blue Jays have made the moves that they've needed to make to put this team into a position where it is a championship contender. Now they got to get the job done on the field, and they certainly are doing that. They are 6-0 since with Troy Tulowitzki in the starting lineup, 6-1 since he got here. They have passed the Minnesota Twins and now have their sights on the Los Angeles Angels of Anaheim, while also keeping their sights on those first-place New York Yankees, who they trail by 5.5 games in the standings. More of your phone calls coming up all the way to the top of the hour, 11 p.m. Eastern. It is Jays Talk on Sportsnet 590, The Fan.
All the infielders patting Estrada on the back. He's going to leave here with a 3-1 lead over the Minnesota Twins. Hands the ball to Hale. And listen to the hand here. They're standing at the Rogers Center for Marco. What a find he has been since coming out of the bullpen.
Yeah, Marco Estrada has been just outstanding for the Blue Jays. Came out of the bullpen when Daniel Norris got sent down at the end of April, made his first start against the Yankees, and once he got past the point where he wasn't able to go more than five innings, he has been tremendous. He's made 14 starts since getting the arm stretched out, which is to say after those first three starts. We'll give him the first three as a jumping off point. And over those 14 starts, he's posted an ERA of 3.35. The league was hitting .227 with a .281 on base against him going into tonight, and tonight he gave up two hits in 6 2/3 innings, a single and a double. So he has been phenomenal out of the Blue Jays rotation. He's got his career-high ninth win. And good for Marco Estrada. He has really, really, really solidified things for the Blue Jays. They win it 3-1 tonight, and they pass the Minnesota Twins. And they're now a game up on the Twins for the second wild card. Half a game up on the Baltimore Orioles. Orioles nothing with Oakland in the second right now. And a game and a half behind the Angels for the first wild card. I'm Mike Wilner. This is Jays Talk. We get right back to the phones. And let's go to Jamie in Kitchener. Welcome to the program, Jamie.
Thanks, Mike. I'd like to say that I think the winning psyche is spreading. Did you see Edwin Encarnacion running tonight? We haven't seen him run like that. And, it's that winning psyche thing that's going on. And we've got it from Tulowitzki. We've got it from Goins. We've got it from Martin. We've got it from Donaldson. And David Price, well, he's got that kind of psyche in spades. And I think now we finally, I've been saying all along, this team's got to beat all the other teams, and they've got to beat John Gibbons. Because John Gibbons has not been allowed to, or not been able to instill the winning psyche in this team.
Right.
And now, you know what? I have got to eat some crow, because I thought there was no way we were going to have a shot if we didn't get rid of Gibbons. But you know what? AA has proved me wrong. That guy is fantastic. He has beaten Gibbons. He's given Gibbons no excuse. There is absolutely no excuse now. Like, I mean, he's given him every single tool he needs. He's given him the psyche, and everybody's feeding on it, and you can see it. And this is the stuff we were telling you about that you wouldn't, yeah, you keep on saying doesn't matter one bit. And you can't say that doesn't matter one bit when you know that Derek Jeter wasn't one of the most talented players, and yet it was his psyche that
got him 3,000 hits?
Pardon me?
His psyche that got him almost 4,000 hits?
Yeah, well, no. You know what? He wasn't Derek Jeter when he got there. Like, I mean,
yeah, he was.
The Yankees could have anybody they wanted.
They won the World Series in his rookie year.
Mm-hmm.
So he very clearly was Derek Jeter when he got there.
Yeah, well, they could have had anybody they wanted. You're not paying homage to the psyche as much as you should, because it's that what gave him 5 World Series rings, and by the end of his career, you keep on saying he's not a good shortstop.
Well, he's not.
Yeah.
But well, I don't want to – I appreciate it, Jamie. I'm not getting into a Derek Jeter debate with you. But, look, the truth of the matter is talent wins. Winning teams are built on winning players, on great players. The more really good players you have, the better the chances that you're going to win. The Blue Jays brought in some really good players in Troy Tulowitzki, in David Price, in LaTroy Hawkins. They made improvements in what they had already with Mark Lowe and with Ben Revere, and the Blue Jays are a really, really, really good baseball team right now. It is not that they have a winning psyche. They haven't won a single game because of their psyche. They've won games because they've been pitching really well, they've been hitting really well, they've been playing really good defense, and the bullpen's been outstanding. That's why they're winning, and it's because they're a team that has a bunch of really, really good players. And the shot at John Gibbons was, I mean, and I've heard that from other people too, you know. Now John Gibbons has no excuse. Now it's, if the Blue Jays fail now, it's all John Gibbons' fault. Well, no, it isn't. It's the players. It remains the players. It's still the players. John Gibbons, as much as a lot of you don't want to hear this, is a very, very good manager. I don't know why people still don't seem to understand that. But that's the truth. More of your phone calls coming up. But first, I want to hear from Troy Tulowitzki, Blue Jays shortstop, who went 1-for-4 with a big home run in the third inning that gave the Jays a 2-0 lead. They went on to beat the Minnesota Twins 3-1, and Tulo had some really terrific stuff to say in the media scrum after the game. Here are those comments.
People talked a lot about kind of the similarities between you and Josh. I mean, what, just from playing with him, hitting in front of him, what have you kind of taken away from watching his at-bats, watching his approach?
I think those will be the similarities. You know, maybe on the baseball field, obviously we're two different people. Outside of the field, he's outgoing, outspoken at times, but he has a lot of fun. Not that I don't, but I'm more of the serious guy. But on the field, there's some similarities. Guys that compete, guys that grind out at bats, guys that probably put winning first, and guys that hopefully make a difference when they're on a team.
What's the biggest thing you've noticed about his approach, just, you know, watching his bats and how he goes about it?
No lack of confidence. I think as a good player in this league, you can't lack confidence. So it's been fun. It's been about a week here, and Josh is definitely fun to be around, someone that I've admired from the other side. Getting a chance to play with him, it's special, and hopefully it's for a long time.
Feeling pretty comfortable here now?
Yeah. I mean, you know, I'm just, like I said, from the beginning, coming here trying to help this team win games. Winning games is fun, so that makes it comfortable, that makes it fun, and it's what you really come to the ballpark for.
What have you noticed about hitting here and the way the ball carries in this ballpark?
Well, you know, it's hard to get a ball through on the ground. That turf is slow. So defensively, that makes it fun, but offensively, it probably can be a little frustrating. But I don't worry about that stuff. I try to take a good at-bat every single time I'm out there, trying not to let the elements affect my at-bat at all, and just you know, play the game to win. I think a lot of things go right when you do that. Well, I didn't know much, obviously, about this team. Obviously, I knew that Canada and this country loves their baseball team, and you know, we have something here, a good team for them to root for, so that makes it fun. At the same time, I didn't know much about the organization. Now being here for a week, I can tell that, you know, it is a good team. It's an awesome place to play, especially coming down the stretch run. You know, these fans are loud, and it makes it exciting.
Right now, batting leadoff, is there much of an adjustment? I mean, yesterday, I think it was yesterday, you took, I think, five or six pitches in the first at-bat. Today, you swung with the first pitch. I mean, are you playing it at bat-by-bat, or is there a party that also wants to see pitches?
I mix it up, you know. I think there's so many scouting reports out there now. You don't want to be known as a guy that is going to take a first pitch every time. They're going to start pumping fastballs. At the same time, runners in scoring position, you want to take, you know, a good at bat, be a hard out, a tough out. So I think that's what I try to, you know, pride myself in is quality at bats. And I think so far I've done a decent job at that. Some at bats have been better than others, but, you know, it makes my job easier when I'm not, when I don't have to try to do too much. I'm not the guy in the lineup. There's a lot of guys that can come through and hit home runs at any point in time. And I really haven't had that in my career. Played with good players, but not this many of them.
But is there anything different to the leadoff spot? Like, is there anything
no.
that you've done differently when you're
low? No, not at all. I stole a base, you know, so that's probably something I've done a little different. But other than that, no, I just try to take my same at bat as if I was hitting third or fourth.
So there's Troy Tulowitzki with some great things to say about the crowd here in Toronto and great things to say about the rest of the lineup that he's hitting in front of now in a leadoff spot. A leadoff man for the first time in his career as John Gibbons, you know, that terrible manager who the Blue Jays have had to work hard to overcome, smart enough to stack his best hitters at the top of the lineup, which a lot of Major League Baseball managers, most of them, do not do. Of course, most of them don't have nearly this many middle-of-the-order hitters. Blue Jays beat the Twins 3-1, the final score. We're taking your calls on Jays Talk, and let's get right back to it. Ed in Toronto. Hey, Ed.
How you doing, Mike?
All right, go ahead.
We're at the game tonight. Great atmosphere at the ball yard. A little disappointed it's only 26,000, but it is a Tuesday night, I guess.
And I think it has to kind of percolate a little bit too, right? It's only been a week since all the changes have been made. And while they're playing really well, I think it may take a lot of time for some of the more casual fans to really catch on as to what's going on here.
Right. What did you think of Gowan's performance tonight? A couple of nice hits.
Yeah, he had a very nice hit against the lefty in the sixth inning. Ryan O'Rourke had only given up one hit to a lefty all year, and he took him right back up the middle with a line drive. He dropped down one of the best bunts I've seen him drop. It's too bad that Edwin was just as surprised as everybody else by that.
I guess, do you think Edwin couldn't have scored on that play? Because my buddy and I were kind of confused as to, I guess that was, did he do that on his own?
Totally.
Right.
Yeah, it's two outs. Nobody's putting a bunt on with two outs. But Edwin was as surprised as everybody else. And if you're not going hard on that first step, as soon as it's put in play, you're done. So he shut it down, which was the smart thing to do at that point in time.
So is Osuna the closer for the remainder of the season, or are they going to play it by committee with Sanchez?
I don't see why it wouldn't be. I mean, he's done a phenomenal job since they put him in that role. No reason to take him out of it. I mean, if he starts to falter and the performance starts to drop, then you've got Sanchez and you've got Hawkins and you got Mark Lowe and you've even got Bo Schultz. So there are a lot of different ways to go. But until the performance drops off, no reason not to have him back there.
I agree. I do have a concern that this team's been streaky. And I think we're getting a little carried away with the, you know, separating ourselves from the rest of the pack. I mean, I think it's a little too early to talk about our magic number.
I don't think anybody's talking about the magic number.
Right. But based on the tone of some of the calls that are coming in, it's like we got this thing, you know, hands down. I think there's a lot of baseball to be played.
You are correct. There is a lot of baseball to be played. There's no question. There is fully one-third of a season remaining. But this team should have it, hands down. There should be no question that this team is going to be in the postseason. Now, will they catch the Yankees? Who knows? I think they've got a much better shot than a lot of people seem to. But should they be at least a wild card team in the American League? Absolutely, they should be at least a wild card team. Thanks for the call. Appreciate it, and glad you managed to come down to the game. 26,504 here tonight to see the Blue Jays beat the Minnesota Twins 3-1. This is Jays Talk. Chris in Toronto, you're next, Chris.
Hey, Mike, how are you doing tonight?
Good, go ahead.
I just want to just talk real briefly about the atmosphere at the Dome lately. I was at the game tonight. I was at the game yesterday, and I was there for Rizzullo's first game last week. It's just great to see the fans reacting to the new team that we're seeing these days. The atmosphere has definitely jumped up, and I think that's helping the team. I personally think that's a big help with the team is just the guys are the fans are really into it. They're really cheering it on. You're seeing third inning, fourth inning, two outs. The crowd's going crazy, and it's the third and fourth inning. So.
Yeah, and I think that's wonderful, and it's something that we haven't seen around here in a long, long time, if at all. I mean, even when the Blue Jays were winning.
For 20 years, I've been going to the games, and I don't think I've seen an atmosphere like I've seen over the last week. And that's across all sports in Toronto, to be honest. I've been an avid Raptors and Leafs attendee, and just to see the change of what I've seen at the Dome, it's fantastic, and I hope it continues because I think it's helping the guys. So.
All right. Appreciate the call. Thanks.
All right. Thanks
Chris. It's a wonderful atmosphere. It has been the last few days, absolutely without question. I don't think it translates to wins and losses, but I think the players appreciate it. I think they enjoy it. I think it's way better to come to work in that kind of environment than where, you know, there's 14,000 people all being quiet here unless the scoreboard tells them to cheer. But I've been really, really impressed with the crowds here as well. You know, big giant sellout crowds, no paper airplanes, stuff like that. The Yankees are in here next weekend. Saturday and Sunday are already very close to being sold out. Friday night, they're already up over 40,000. So hopefully it's going to continue. And we'll see. We'll see. But as long as this team continues to play well, and there's no reason why it shouldn't, they're not going to win out, and they're not going to win 6 out of every 7 like they are now. But this is a really good baseball team, and this city is going to grab onto it. James in Peterborough. Hello, James.
Hi, how you doing, Mike?
I'm doing all right, thank you.
That's good. It's not just the atmosphere in the Dome itself. I actually crossed the border today in Sarnia, and the border agent saw the Blue Jays hat and asked me what the score was. He started talking baseball with me. There's a line of trucks behind me.
Beautiful.
Absolutely gorgeous. I just have a few questions for you, and then I'll hang up. I'm just wondering, why was Valencia sent down to waivers? I always liked Valencia. Was it so that Leonor Kawasaki could come up and play last Saturday there?
No, it really wasn't a Valencia versus Kawasaki thing, although the Blue Jays did need to have a legitimate middle infielder on the team, and Valencia's not that. I mean, he's an emergency. You can put him in an emergency at second base. He did cost them a game. You remember the winning streak the Jays had, the 11-game win streak. It should have been 12, but Danny Valencia, since he's not a second baseman, really didn't make the right play on what should have been a double play ground ball, and he wound up only getting one out, and the Mets wound up winning the ball game. The game should have been over, and they should have won, and that just sort of shows you right there this is not a second baseman. So with Devin Travis hurt, they needed a real middle infielder. But it was also the decision to keep an 8-man bullpen and the decision to keep Valencia over Chris Colabello. And in all three of those decisions, Valencia wound up being on the losing side.
Oh, okay. So it was for the defense, because I just I can't stand Leonardo Kawasaki at bat. I like him out in the field. I can't stand the amount of hype that he gets. He almost gets a bigger cheer than Donaldson does.
Well, but that's not his fault, though. I mean,
no, it's not. No, it's not.
You can't blame him for that.
No, you can't. But also, I was wondering, if we get Dave Dombrowski as our president, do you think it gives us a better chance of signing Price next year?
Not necessarily. I mean, remember, Price was only a Detroit Tiger for 1 year. Exactly 1 year. So it's not like he has this great long relationship with Dave Dombrowski or anything like that. So, no, I don't know that that would change tip the scales at all one way or the other. If he had been a Tiger forever, then, yeah, maybe. But he wasn't. 3-1 Blue Jays. They beat the Minnesota Twins. Danny is in Caledonia. Danny.
Mike, congrats on predicting that Estrada would be a solid performer.
Well, I just went with the data that, you know,
it took you
available.
A while to prove you right, but there you are. First question for you. Why do you think Norris was sent down in the first place by the Jays?
Because I think that they saw that this wasn't the same guy that they saw in the spring. It wasn't. He wasn't the same guy that that he was last year in the summer on the way up until he got to the Jays. They thought that he was going to be, you know, the way we saw him dominate the Grapefruit League in spring training, we thought he was going to be a really, really, really strong starter. And you remember the game that he got demoted after, he threw 78 pitches over three innings. And it had been that kind of struggle for him. I was sure, and I think they were hoping, too, that he would only be down for four or five starts and then come right back up. But he never really got into a groove in Buffalo either.
Yeah, that's right. Tell me, you know, since Tulu's been up, Jays have been doing amazing. But, you know, he hasn't made that much of a contribution. He's contributed, but not that much to make the record what it is. What do you think has been different about the Jays since they've picked up Tulu?
The bullpen's a lot better. With Sanchez back in there and with Hawkins and Mark Lowe in there as well. The defense is a lot better. I mean, Troy Tulowitzki's made a huge impact defensively on this team. The defense in the outfield is better. And the pitching has been fantastic, no doubt helped by the defense. And, you know, for Troy Tulowitzki, he's hitting .333 since he got here. With a couple of home runs, he's driven in five runs. He's played in he started six games, so he kind of has made quite the impact.
Yeah, I'll just make one final question, and then I'll let you go. You know, Dick has been pitching really well the last few games. I don't see why you would mess with it and bring up his old catcher at this point. You know, pitching is everything, especially this late in the game. I don't know why you would try messing up with his old catcher. I'll hang up and go Jays go.
All right. I don't know that it would mess him up. I mean, he knows Josh Tolley better than anybody else. And again, Josh Tolley's going to be on with Jeff Sammet at 11 o'clock on Sportsnet tonight. So make sure you tune in for that conversation and see. Everyone is anticipating Tolley being called up. I'm not so sure it's going to happen in time for Friday's start. We'll see. But look, R.A. Dickey, the problem is that he's beating the hell out of Russ Martin. And you know, Martin's hitting, I think, 170 in R.A. Dickey's starts. So you're not getting the offensive boost that you thought you were going to get. He's killing him trying to catch this knuckleball. And it's not R.A.'s fault, and it's not Russ's fault. But we said this at the beginning of the season, and we said it in spring training. Catching the knuckleball takes a lot out of you. And there's a good chance that Russ Martin's overall performance will improve if he doesn't have to worry about catching R.A. Dickey. He'll catch him in the playoffs. He's shown he can do it. But there's a good chance he gets better in the overall if he doesn't have to do it for the next couple of months. Sneaking one more call. Chris in Cambridge. Hey, Chris.
Hi. Hey, Mike. I just want to say, like, absolutely love your show. I pretty much love the Blue Jays as much as you do. I caught a tattoo of them on my ribs. It's pretty large.
Then you probably love them more than I do.
Yeah, maybe. I just don't know as much. Just wanted to say, like, I know baseball is like a numbers game. It's all about sabermetrics. But I'm more, like, I lean more towards, like, the contrast, like the sentimentality, the poetical side of it. And, you know, like, the stories and the parodies. And I just think, like, the younger generations are, you know, finally getting to live, you know, like, the days that, like, you know, like, our dads and our uncles and, like, the older people got to see in 92 and 93. You know, I'm not saying I haven't seen the moments. Like, I saw Aaron Hill steal home on four potential Hall of Famers, you know, Jeter, A-Rod, Posada, Pettit. You know, I saw Vernon Wells, like, hit a, you know, home run in his return off Morrow, you know, like the standing ovation, like so long that, you know, he had to step out of the box to let people calm down. But, you know, it's not Joe Carter hitting the home run. And I just think, like, it's absolutely magical that everybody's, like, this close to just getting those moments again, you know, like 22 years later. And that's all I got to say. But thanks. You do a great show. Thanks, Mike.
All right. Thank you. Look, it's that's the thing. That's what so many people haven't experienced. It's true. and Kelly Gruber walks in here, Candy Maldonado walks in here, anybody from those old teams, and it's just so different because they were champs. And we haven't had even a division champ, even a playoff spot in 22 years. And people are hopefully going to get to see what that's like this year. This is going to be a memorable next 2 months, hopefully three. Right now, the Blue Jays are in a playoff spot. We'll see you tomorrow at 7 o'clock.